All set. Okay, I'd like to call to order the special meeting work session for Monday, February 22nd, 2016, 7:30 p.m. Roll call.
Mr. Hannah?
Here.
Mr. O'Connell?
Here.
Mrs. Harvey?
Here.
Mrs. Claes?
Here.
Mr. Saganich?
Here.
Five board members present.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move to item number five, approve the agenda for the special meeting of February 22nd, 2016.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Mrs. Claes, second by Mrs. Harvey. Discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Claes?
Yes.
Mrs. Harvey?
Yes.
Mr. O'Connell?
Yes.
Mr. Hannon?
Aye.
Mr. Saganich?
Yes.
Five yes votes.
Motion carried. Item six, the work session. I'd like to turn it over to Superintendent Roston, please.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connell. Thanks to all of you for coming this evening. I have a brief, maybe 10-minute presentation, and then hopefully we can open it up for some discussion and thoughts and things. When I interviewed with the board back in September, we discussed a lot of things, but the most important thing was how do we move our district forward. And what I had told them was by February, I should have some idea of some things that maybe we should do and to move forward. One thing I should say right away, I was an outsider. I was a superintendent in another district when McDonald went into fiscal emergency. And I'm very much aware of what this community did coming together to right that ship, to lift that ship. I've never seen a district go into fiscal emergency so fast, and I've been superintendent in a couple of districts that did it, and I've certainly never seen a district come out of fiscal emergency so fast. That is really a tribute to everyone here, everyone in this community, the staff, obviously, there's no one that should not be singled out. So as you're aware, and I believe it was a 10.75 mill levy that you passed, and then it was lowered to 7.5, and you know, we've now find ourselves in a very enviable position of having money. I don't take that lightly. And I'm not looking to make any recommendations to spend any of the district's money irresponsibly. At the same time, we do believe that it's time that we bring some programs back and that we put some things together to benefit our students, obviously, and to make our district more attractive. So with that, I've got a couple of, I've made some suggestions, and most of them at the beginning, and most of what I'll hit tonight is involves staffing, and I'm the first one to acknowledge, as soon as you start talking staffing, you are talking big money. Because after all, we are a school district, public entity. Most of our money comes from staff. And I'm not looking to bring back every person that whose position was cut or eliminated upon retirement or how that was done. But there are some needs that we think we can benefit from. And so I'm just going to kind of go through some things with the elementary and the high school and then the district at large. The first thing we've done, in effect, we've already taken steps to address our guidance situation. School district has over 800 students and one guidance counselor. And you know, I'm looking at this thinking, this is kind of hard to read, but I hope you'll bear with me. Our guidance counselor, when I went and got some information from her about a month ago, she had conducted 328 individual sessions at McDonald High School. Now, individual sessions could be talking to a senior about choosing a college, talking to students about financial aid, talking to underclassmen about scheduling, what you're looking at. But also, some students who come with a more personal need. Problems at home, problems with other students, just sometimes problems that they just feel within themselves. She's also at the high school dealing with College Credit Plus and getting students involved in that. This time of year, and actually started back in November for the most part, but working with our seniors to get them ready for college with college applications. And I can tell you, as a former principal, sometimes it gets very frustrating. Our seniors think they have their whole lives to get their applications ready, and we get into the springtime and still have students who hadn't put in applications. Along with that, the very real need for financial aid. So these are some of the things that she's doing at the high school. And it takes so much time. She gets over to Roosevelt when she's able. And up at the point that we had met, she had conducted 32 individual sessions. Considering that we probably have, I'm not sure, maybe not quite 100 more students at the elementary than at the high school, the numbers themselves tell you that we're lacking in that regard. And part of it is she's stationed here, things come up here, she can't get over to the elementary school as she needs. She's also required to coordinate all of the testing for our students at grades 3 to 12. And that's not just the state testing that's coming up here in April, but she also does PSAT and the ASVAB test for high school juniors and a number of other tests that she helps set up for individuals. Now, what we did, you might be aware, the board was very kind to accept my recommendation to bring on a part-time guidance counselor for the remainder of this school year. And Mr. Vecchione will tell you it's already paying great dividends. She's been with us for a week. But we brought someone in to work 20 hours a week and to help take that burden off of Mrs. Brown at the high school, and she'll be there helping with testing and everything. But looking at a long-term solution, we've come up with another idea. I've come up with another idea, and what I'm proposing is that we employ a director of student services. Now, we currently share a special ed director position with Mineral Ridge Schools. Both of us split this girl's salary, she coordinates all special ed services for 128 students in the McDonald schools, preschool to 12. If we brought her here full time, we could take away a lot of the duties that we put on to the guidance counselor, a lot of administrative duties, and make this position testing coordinator. Also give this person a curriculum director who would work closely with the principals and the county. Can also be the gifted coordinator, which we're required to have, and we're required to serve gifted, and we need someone to sign off on that. And also would allow our counselor then to service both buildings, taking away all of the administrative duties that that the counselor is conducting. I guess what I'll ask you, if you have any questions, feel free to ask tonight, or we can get through this, and write them down, whatever you feel. We're pretty informal here. Looking at specials at Roosevelt Elementary. And I'm a believer, and all of the studies will tell you that the arts play an important role in students' well-being as they move their way through school. I know we had an art instructor at the elementary school. I'd like to see us bring an instructor back. We right now also have a part-time technology teacher. And, you know, Mr. Vecchione and I have talked about a couple of different ideas, and we're still kicking around. It could be as much as hiring an art teacher, hiring a full-time technology teacher. I know we have kids coming up to the high school that don't have all of the background on with the computers that we'd like them to have. Or it could be a combination of things. It could, you know, one of the things when we talked about art instruction, even at the elementary level, art is no longer just crayons and paper, paints. There are some amazing things going on with graphic arts, and you're not going to find an art instructor coming out of school today that doesn't have a strong technology background, which in some ways might help us develop those technology skills for our students. So that's an idea that we are still kicking around, and you know, we'll hope to come up with something, a more concrete recommendation here soon. Special education is really takes a lot of time. One of the things that Mr. Vecchione had done this year was bring on 3 hourly tutors to help address the students' needs in pull-out programs. One of the things we'd like to do is replace those 3 tutors with a teacher who would be with us full-time, be able to take individual classes, would also do some pull-out. This individual would be paid out of Title I funds, the federal funds, but we think we can coordinate and get a lot more bang for our buck with a regular teacher. At McDonald High School, some of you have heard of College Credit Plus. I'm not sure if you all are familiar with the concept. It actually started, it's grown out of the original Senate Bill 140, which is now probably 16 or 17 years old. At one time, a lot of our students used to sign up and take college courses. They'd go down to YSU or to, from here, probably Kent State, Trumbull Branch, but they could go on the campuses and take college courses. The courses they took, then they earned that college credit. They also earned their high school credit, and the state didn't feel that enough kids were doing that, so they've kind of pushed us along to do more things. And now College Credit Plus is the next step, and we actually can do College Credit Plus a couple of different ways. Some high school teachers, if they have the right licensure, are able to teach classes at the high school, and it's going to be a high school class, but at the same time also receive college credit. They have to be accredited and approved through the university. Around here, it's usually YSU. But they do have to have a master's in the field in which they're teaching. It's not a master's degree in education. So if you're going to teach a college English class, you have to have at least a master's, and to be honest, I don't remember exactly how many hours it is, but it has to be in English, or it has to be in math or calculus. Now, we've got a couple programs that we're running now at the high school, but the demands have gotten such on the teachers that we're not going to be able to offer as many courses as possible as we have. Although we also have a couple other teachers who are actively taking courses now in the hopes of allowing us to bring on some other College Credit Plus programs. I know for sure in English, but I'm pretty sure we're losing our calculus class after this year. We've talked about a couple of different ideas. Mr. Carquito has spoken to the principal at Mineral Ridge High School about sharing a class because they are offering a calculus class there. And if we're able to work that out, some of our students might actually end up starting their day at Mineral Ridge High School and taking the class there and then coming back to McDonald for second period. One of the more common methods of delivering these classes is online. And as you know, so many colleges are now doing online courses. And so one of the things we think we can do is set up one of our labs a couple periods a day. And right now, Mr. Carquito and Mrs. Brown are working with the juniors, and they'll be talking to the sophomores next about their interest in taking a college-level course. And it could be, you know, something that there's no way we could ever offer, like marine biology. It also could be a calculus or another course that we do offer here at the school, but the students are permitted to take a college course even if it's something we offer here. Now, what we would want to do is set up a lab, and we would need a teacher in there to work with the students. It would not be the teacher of record, but we would be required to have a teacher in that class with the students, the one or two periods that we think we can make this work. And then the other course that we're looking at is adding a financial literacy course. A couple of years ago, the state legislature made financial literacy a requirement, and we've, like a lot of schools, we've gotten around it a little bit by offering a little bit in government, if I believe right, Sam. Thank you. And I think Ms. Razzo would tell you, it's not what it's supposed to be. And it's hard because the government class is a tested class. And so she's taking time away from that because she has to offer this unit on financial literacy. But there's so much more that we'd be able to do if we... I have some notes here. If we could, a lot of things like learning about credit, basic money management, purchasing skills, and a lot of things. And it would be a semester class that we'd be able to offer, and we would make it a... it would be a required class. Now, currently we have a couple of part-time teachers in the building that we think we could utilize. You know, neither of these suggestions would require hiring a full-time teacher.
Bob, excuse me, before you go forward.
Yes.
In regard to the College Credit Plus monitoring online classes, if you were utilizing a lab a couple of times a day, would all of the students be taking the same class, or could they actually be taking all different classes?
They could be taking different courses, okay. Different classes. And it's, you know, there's a lot of high school that are on these online high schools, and some of them, well, you've heard about where the students stay home and do their work. Some of them, they go to a common site, and you could have, you know, at those you might have students from three or four different grades, one of them doing his math work and one doing the English, but it's all individual, and they are monitored by the college teacher, but yeah, we wouldn't have to get so many that we, that in order to have a college level English class, It could be any college class that the students would be interested in taking. And that brings me to technology. One of the things that the district has done really well the last couple of years is increase our technology. And we've got a number of computer labs. We just bought 2 Chrome carts, which are basically computer labs on wheels at the elementary school. And I think I have somewhere. Don't do that. Since 2009, at Roosevelt and McDonald High School, we have added 74 computers in the labs, 13 staff computers, 26 smart boards. And some of these you may not be aware of. If there's a teacher in the audience that has a smart board, you might explain better than I, but we're no longer using chalkboards. I don't know if you're aware. It says these smart boards are just the remarkable technology that allow teachers to do amazing things. 23 Elmo devices, 36 projectors, 5 printers, 50 Google Chromebooks, 14 iPads, 5 sets of classroom clickers. These are amazing little devices that allow teachers to get student response immediately. We have server and domain infrastructure upgrade from Windows 03 to Windows 2012. And we still need more. Next year, all of the state testing is required to be done on a computer. I think we're still getting away with some paper and pencil this spring. But those of you, so many of you are out here, and you know how you use technology. You know, and our kids need to be using that technology. We're behind, but we're doing our best to catch up. One of our problems, though, is, if you were at the finance committee meeting last month, you heard a couple of our teachers ask about that. Something breaks down, we don't have anybody here. We currently employ a gentleman 20 hours a week. He comes in at night, and he gets a list of things to do, and he runs around trying to get them fixed. We have one teacher on staff who gets a period a day to help out with technology. I'm quite certain. Yes?
What protection do we have, if any, against ransomware?
Against?
Ransomware. Okay. For example, because it's so difficult to hack into big government systems, there are people who are actually putting ransomware into smaller systems, smaller databases, and holding them ransom unless you pay them money.
Oh, okay,
to get
just
it
like
back.
With that hospital.
Exactly.
Yes.
It was in the news just the
yes.
other day. So are our databases protected through Neoman or not? Or
I honestly cannot answer that question.
So it's a good question
tell you,
to ask.
Yes, it's we don't have a lot. We don't have a lot of protection. I mean, we have a secure site. Our school website's secure. I can tell you, in all of the districts where I've worked, there's always a student that can get around any. And in fact, I've been a lot of places where if the tech guy wasn't available,
there's
a
couple the students
teachers used to help them set some things up. The kids are amazing. But my point here is that we do, I truly believe we need to hire a regular tech consultant, tech coordinator for our district. I'm pretty certain we're the only district that does not have someone here during the day. This is one of those jobs that 20 years ago, nobody thought about. Very similar to the EMIS coordinator position, which 25 years ago didn't exist. And now it's one of the most valuable positions that we have on staff. So that's another suggestion, and if we had a full-time coordinator, we'd have that person on site every day. Teachers, for sure, even the little things like a projector breaking and then being able to come in and bring a replacement or something. Someone who would coordinate all the software for our district. Handle all of our technology upgrades. Person that would also be in charge of filling out and doing our E-rate every year, in charge of our security, all of our telecommunications, and set up all of our online testing. E-rate is a particular interesting thing because this is where we get technology money from the state, and it really should be done by someone, the employee who's done it has done a wonderful job, but it should be done by someone with that strong technology background. A couple of programs that we're looking at the elementary school cafeteria, point of sales program. This is something that it's become quite common. Basically computerizes our cafeteria sales. It's very convenient. Parents are able then to pay for the students' line and put them on an account, so the students come in, and each day the student just puts in his PIN number and walks away with his lunch, so we don't have to handle cash like we've been doing forever. I believe it also keeps track of meals, and sometimes parents want to know what, I mean, it does do that, doesn't it, Dave? Parents want to know what their kids are eating, and we're able to tell them. We don't only tell the parents. With regard to inventory, and helps us determine, you know, what sells, what doesn't sell. And the other thing we're looking into right now is a parent notification system. Some of you are signed up on the Ohio Alerts system, which unfortunately we've had to use a couple times this year, and we found that it's really inefficient. When we had the first gas leak at the elementary school, I believe the message that went out to parents went out in parts, and not all parents got all parts. I'm not sure who runs Ohio Alerts, but we contracted for it. It was free, but then parents have to sign up in order to get the alert, and not everyone does that. I do know next year they're going to start charging for it. What many districts have is some sort of a telephone system that, win or lose?
Lost by 10.
We lost. Not very good move.
These telephone notification systems actually sync with EMIS for us. And so it has every parent's phone number that you want, and staff member phone numbers already there. So if we need to have a calamity day, we can make one phone call, and in a district the size of McDonald, within 40 minutes, everybody knows, it's probably sooner than that, but within 40 minutes, everybody gets a telephone call, McDonald's schools are closed today. We have an incident at the elementary school. Mr. Vecchione could call just the elementary teachers, Mr. Perquito, and elementary parents. Mr. Perquito, the same with the high school. A lot of these systems break down to where coaches and teachers can have their teachers will just put their class on the system, and they can. And we've heard stories of teachers that will call on Sunday night saying, don't forget this week, we're doing this, so the parents know what's going on. So there's a couple of systems out there. We did meet with one a couple of weeks ago, and you know, we do hope to be looking at that, making that recommendation in time for next school year. And facilities. I will tell you, we've already spoken to, and we're getting some bids and hope to recommend an architect. I'm not sure if there's anyone here who would disagree that we need to replace the bleachers in the gym. In fact, I'm pretty certain that was on the list to be done this coming summer. So we are looking at bleachers. I can tell you that, and most of you know, at the end of games, I watch some of our seniors try to get out of those bleachers, and it's those are over 50 years old, I believe. It's time to replace them with something new and modern, with handrails and aisles. Aisles would be nice. So we are looking to replace the bleachers this year. Some of the other things we'd like to do, we want to remodel the older high school tech lab. We've got some, when we put that in 09, I believe it was. Was it 09 that we put that in?
The old lab?
The old lab.
The old lab was put in when we first originally remodeled it, back in 2002.
But at the one that we're going to read,
that's the one.
Oh, we put some refurbished computers in. Refurbished. They are getting old. Yeah. The furniture is large, cumbersome. And we'd like to, you know, that's one of the things we're looking at. Additional Chromebook carts, at least one in each of the buildings. We need to update our security cameras. I'm not sure how many we have, 8 or 10 here at the, or no, we have about 20 here.
Well, at the high school we have more. We have a security camera on every door that goes outside, mm-hmm. except one. And then on the outside we only have six cameras, but they work.
A lot of times you can see things, but you can't make out who the people are. And if you bring some of the security groups in, and you know, some of this might be because they're trying to sell us cameras, you know, they're going to tell us a building this size probably needs 30 cameras. But you're looking at all of the, and one thing, an older building like McDonald High School has a lot of little cubby holes, little, you know, out of the way places, and, you know, we want to update our security system. The auditorium. We have a beautiful auditorium. We'd really like to update the lighting. I've heard mixed opinions on the seats, but I think those seats are about 100 years old.
But a lot of people have memorialized themselves in those seats.
And probably fit really well. And to be honest,
I can say about the seats, one of the issues we're having now with the seats is when the metal, the cast iron, wherever those were made, some of you are probably made in the mill somewhere around here at some point, they can't be replaced. We've tried everything from welding them to fixing them, and right now what we've been doing is taking seats from the back of the auditorium and moving them up to replace the seats up closer. So I think if you go to the back of the auditorium, you'll see the number of seats that are gone because we had to move those up. Just because you can't replace them, you can't find that type of metalwork anymore, or anybody that would make that stuff. So.